What a great day, amen? Man, it wasn't nice to see the snow blow in, get snowed in a day or two, and then clear up. That's the kind of snow I like. I'd rather be in Clovis than Ruidosa, amen? Ruidosa's got that 20-inch snow. How many of you know that wouldn't be a lot of fun? How many of you would like 20 inches? I see very, very few. You are the minority here today. As you came through the door, you will have picked up a red piece of yarn. I want you to take it and wave it at me like this. Will you do that? You got one? If you don't have one, let us know. We'll get you one. This is going to be a reminder for you. So I want you to have one here shortly at the end of the service. I believe God's going to do some great things. When I went to India with Pastor Solomon a couple of months ago, it was absolutely incredible how God moved at the time of invitation. God moved at the time of invitation. People came forward by the hundreds. And they would come to the altar and they'd pour out their heart and they would give their life to Christ. And then they would ask God for certain things in their life. They would ask God to take this away or that away to add to them in certain areas of their life. It was an absolutely astounding time going to India and going to the altar calls, laying hands on people that were sick, laying hands on people that were needy. It was a time of a life, and it was absolutely astounding. And while I was there, I was able to think about America, and I was thinking about our country, and I thought about our city, and I thought about our people and our church. God, why can't it happen in America here at Highland Baptist Church? Why can't you move like that? And God began to reveal to me some answers, and I hope that it will change your life and revolutionize your life, your prayer life, your walk with God. So I hope you're excited about being here. I'd like to tell you, I went to the bank the other day and I talked to my banker. It has nothing to do with the message, but I thought it was kind of funny. I went and talked to my banker, and the banker told me about a farmer. And this farmer came in, he said, Paul, I've got some good news and bad news. What do you want first? Paul said, well, give me the bad news first. He said, well, okay, I'll do that. He said, I can't make my mortgage payments anymore. He said, well, that's bad news. Anything else? He said, yeah, that crop loan that I got last year, I can't pay that off either. Oh, that's really getting bad. He said, well, anything else? He said, yeah. Do you remember you loaned me a couple hundred thousand for my tractors and supplies? I can't pay that off either. So I'm going to have to turn everything back to you. I'm going to have to turn my farm back to you and give it back to you. Paul was absolutely blown away. And he said, well, just tell me, after all that bad news, what in the world is the good news? What could it possibly be? He said, well, the good news is I'm going to keep on banking with you. How many has nothing to do with the message, but I thought Paul gave me a little bit of a chuckle the other day. I thought I'd share it with you. I want to talk to you about a living sacrifice and coming and binding yourself, tying yourself to the altar. If you have your Bibles, turn over with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul was telling believers how to live. Paul was telling Christians how to live and how to walk this walk called Christians, called Christianity. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not to be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I believe your desire for the people of Highland Baptist Church is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, to come to the altar and to be tied to the altar. Father, I pray it will totally revolutionize some people here today in this church. I pray that it would revolutionize marriages and homes and children today. And God, I ask that you do a great work in us and through us. God, we bless you. in the name of Jesus. All God's people said, amen. God is calling us to the altar. The good news is, He's not just calling the people of India to the altar. He's not just calling the people of Africa to the altar. He's not calling the people of Brazil to the altar. Good news is, He's calling all of us to come to the altar and be altered. God wants that for you and I. He's calling us to run to the altar. I asked several people this week, how long has it been since you have seen, witnessed an absolute move of God in a church service and an altar? Think about it a minute. How long has it been since you've seen a move of God here at the altar? Some people say, well, that I talked to, it's been decades and decades since I've seen a real move of God. I talked to another one, and he said, it's been at least 35 years since I've seen a real move of God at the altar. Today I want to ask you, how long has it been since you've seen a real move of God at the altar? And some of us may be scratching our head right now trying to figure it out and trying to remember. Some of you are looking back in the annals of time and saying, was it that Sunday, or was it that year, or was it that decade, or was that decade? When was it? If God's not moving at the altar, it's been way too long. 35 years is a long time to go without seeing a move of God at the altar. It's way too long. And we wonder why churches are like they are in America. Churches are coming with no, people come to the churches with no expectation. They have no sort of expectations that God's going to move, that God's going to show up, that God's going to do something from them. And so they don't come to the altar any longer. And they don't come and weep at the altar. They don't throw themselves down at the altar and cry out to God. God's not going to move again till we come to the altar. The altar is the missing ingredient. The altar is the missing part that we're missing in churches today. God, bring us to the altar. God, tie us to the altar. Put it around. Tie us to it so we can't get loose. God, restore us. Forgive us when we've been lackadaisical coming to the altar. Forgive us when we say, oh, we've got more important things to do than come to the altar and spend time with God. We've got a game to watch, or we've got to go here, or we've got to go there. Folks, there's nothing more important than your time right here at the altar of God. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a terrible habit of coming to the altar, and sometimes I may want to get up a little too early. Sometimes I may want to weasel off of the altar because it's going to be a little bit strenuous. It's going to be a little bit of pain. It's going to stretch me a little much. And so I wander away from the altar. God says, don't wander from the altar. Stay at the altar and tie yourself in. God wants to do that for you. And when you tie yourself to the altar, it's going to change your life. That's what we're missing in America. That's what we're missing in churches. That's what believers are missing, is they're leaving the altar way too quick. And they come time after time, week after week, and they go out the door and they miss the opportunity of a lifetime to see God move. I'm asking God to move. I've asked God to move here in Highland Baptist Church. I've asked God to move in America like He's doing all over the world. Do it here, God. Start with me. That's a big prayer. That's a bold prayer. Churches have abandoned the altars. The days of pouring yourselves out to God at the altars are a thing of the past. Pouring out your heart at the altar and seeing God move is an old-time idea in a newfangled world. Coming to the altar to repent of sin is unheard of anymore. We've got other things to do. We've got other ideas, other ways to do it. But going to the altar was some of the most important times of my life. Coming to the altar and laying yourself at the altar where you make decisions that are permanent, where you make decisions that are final, where you make decisions that are carved in stone. You make decisions that you're never going back. You make decisions that you're never going to change again. You make decisions that won't be repealed, they won't be revoked, and they won't be recalled. You lay it at the altar. Some of the most important times of my life happened at the altar. Amen. What a wonderful time it was. But we're so quick to sing a song and leave. God says it's more than just singing a song and walking the door. He said He wants you to come to this point of the service and come to the altar time and be changed so we can change our community. God, do it again in us. God, I ask that the people of Highland Baptist Church lay it down at the altar. I'm reminded of Abraham and Jacob over in Genesis 22. I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but you can look it up later. You remember the story. God told Abraham to take his son Isaac and go up to the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. And so he got his donkey and he began to load up the wood. He began to load up the rope and he began to load up the fire, the knife that he was going to use to plunge into his son's stomach, into his chest. And they went up high into the mountains. His son began to say, I don't understand what we're going to do. Daddy said, don't worry about it, son. It's going to be all right. Well, we're sure going a long way. Why don't we just present an offering to him right here? No, we need to go on up. So a little while later, I don't know where the sacrifice is, Dad. I don't know where it is. He said, God's going to provide. So as he gets there to the altar, he builds. There he grabs his son and lays him down on the altar. And he takes a rope and he begins to tie him to the altar. And then all of a sudden God moves. How many of you would like God to move suddenly in your life? Just suddenly, just quickly, just immediately, now. And as he was about ready to take up the knife and plunge it in the chest of his son, the angel said, stop! Don't do it! And he said, God will provide the sacrifice. And there was a ram in the thicket, and he took the ram. He came and he took the ram and he tied the ram up, and then he killed the ram, and the blood was shed, and a sacrifice was given to Almighty God. God is wanting you to come to the altar to sacrifice. Amen. Oh, but it's painful, Lord. Oh, Lord, it's uncomfortable. Oh, Lord, don't make me do that. But God says, that's what pleases Him. Your sacrifice pleases the Lord. You go to the altar to be transformed. You go to the altar to be changed. You go to the altar to meet God and to meet Him personally. The Bible says when you come to the altar, that is true worship. That is service. That's sacrifice. Churches in America have lost the importance of the altar. You think these are wood and carpet. You think they are just steps. Folks, this is an altar where you present yourself to God and say, God, here I am, use me. Amen. And yet, we sing the song and we get in our cars and we leave when God wants to do business with you. When God wants to do business with me. I'm here to tell you there's power in the blood. I'm here to tell you there's victory in the cross. I'm here to tell you there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem at the garden. I'm here to tell you there's something special about the altar, and that's where you can come and meet God. The Bible's 2,700 years old at least. And every word here is God-inspired and God-breathed. And Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 is still applicable today as it was 2,700 years ago. And God is looking for you to come and present yourself as a living sacrifice at the altar. Amen. If He thought that 2,700 years ago, He thinks it today in 2000. And we're getting close to 19. God doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If He wanted you to go to the altar back in yesteryears of the Old Testament, He wants you to do it today. Come to the altar. Tie yourself in. And when you tie yourself in, get ready for the ride of your life, because God's going to do something in you. How many of you want God to do something in you? If you give God praise and glory and honor, give Him a hand, would you? Do you want God to do something in you? Something new, something radical, something that you've never seen before? God wants to do that for you. God, would you do it today? Would you meet us at the altar? But churches have changed their thoughts concerning the altar. They like the Hollywood sets. They like the lights, the smoke, the sound effects, the strobe lights, and the disco ball. Folks, I tell you, there's a lot more to church than all that garbage. And it's called the altar of Almighty God. These churches look great on the outside. You go in, there's no altars, there's no crosses, there's no pulpits of power, there's no kneeling benches, there's no anointing, there's no presence of God. There's just an empty ringing there. They're just powerless. Sometimes I think, what else in the world can they throw out of a church? They're throwing out the altars. God help us. You say, oh, they're not throwing things out of the church. Farrell, used to be that churches had communion every Sunday. They don't do it anymore. Now they do it maybe quarterly, every quarter. Maybe they might just do it every quarter, four times a year. Most of the times they just forget until somebody brings it up. You don't think that people are throwing out Lord's Supper? It's coming next, folks. The baptistries are being covered up and being replaced. A lot of the new churches don't even have baptistries. They go off and do it at somebody's home at a pool. I tell you what's important is people being saved and walking through the baptismal waters. If they take away the altar, they take away the Lord's Supper, they take away the baptistry, folks, they're going to go ahead and take more away. You don't see the gifts working in the churches today, the gift of evangelism. Oh, evangelists aren't needed today. We just know way too much more than those evangelists. How long has it been since you've seen an evangelist? How long have you been since you've been to a revival and heard a real evangelist? How long has it been since you've heard a prophet? There are prophets. That's one of the gifts. How long has it been since you've heard a real teacher? How long? And I'm telling you, they're coming after pastors next. We've got churches with movie screens that are satellite ministries that are bringing over their pastor from 100 miles away, 500 miles away, 1,000 miles away, and you sit there watching a movie screen. How inspiring is that? Folks, they're doing away with things in America that we need the most. We need the gifts. We need the pastors. We need the prophets. We need the evangelists. We need the teachers. We need supernatural signs and wonders and miracles. We need to see the hand of God move. We need the altars. We need the baptistries. We need the Lord's Supper. God, please don't let us be powerless in empty buildings. There's a small remnant in America that knows anything about a real altar call. They just thought altar calls were a stage. They just thought altar calls was a place to elevate the pastor or the singer or the worship leaders. No, the altar call is where you come and meet God. The altar, that's what it's for. Amen. The average American says, oh, the altar, it's just for marrying and burying the dead. God help us not to forget what the altar is all about. I want to share with you a story about one of the greatest altar calls ever. And it's found in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 20. Luke 15, verse 11 through 20. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falls to me. And he divided it unto them, his living. And he may, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a faraway place, to a faraway country. and he wanted a substance. And there was there he wanted a substance and riotous living, and that's what he was involved in. He has involved himself in drunkenness. He's involved himself with immorality with women. He's involved himself with everything other than what he should be doing. And when he spent all that he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him to the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine. And when he came to himself, he was realizing that he was eating what the pigs were eating. He came to himself, he came to his senses. He had an altar time. That's what I call it. He had an altar time right here. He had an altar time. And he was coming to his senses. He was starting to wake up. He was starting to look at the reality of the mess that he made of his life. And the Bible said, how my hired servants of my father have had enough to eat. They even had enough to spare. And I am perishing here with hunger. And so he got up from that altar, the Bible says. He got up at the altar of the pig pen. And he said, I'll arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son, and make me one of your hired servants. And he rose and he came to the father. But he was a great way off, and his father was beginning to watch him, and watched and watched and watched, and he had compassion. So the father went and he ran out towards his son. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. The son had all kinds of excuses. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against your sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. And the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Go forth and get the ring, put it on his hand. Get shoes for his feet. Get a garment for his back. And bring a fatted calf, because we're going to kill the calf and we're going to make merry and we're going to celebrate. My son that was dead is now alive. He was lost and now he is found. The greatest altar call ever began in a pig pen. Amen. And it ended up at the foot of his daddy. There is no better place to be. It's when you come to the reality that you need something bigger than yourself, and that you need Jesus Christ to come into your life and change you, and you run to the altar. You run there, and there's the Father wanting to meet you. Wanting to meet you. The altar is a place for time of decision to be rendered. So many want to come to God and they just want to be a minimal believer. They just want to be a nominal Christian. They don't like the idea of self-denial. They don't like the idea of sacrifice. They don't like the idea of total devotion to God. But this young man was totally changed. He was no longer lingering in the stench of the pig pen any longer. Church growth experts say, well, to young pastors, you can't preach the old stuff any longer. It's no longer relevant. You have to be relevant in this day and age in our society. I've got news for that, church growth expert. And that came from Luke 15, hogwash. It's just hogwash. That's a real biblical term that I've got. Relevant. What a stupid term. You've got to be relevant. If relevant is skinny jeans and $100 haircuts, that's cool. Count me out. Because I'm not going to look good in either. $100 haircut or skinny jeans. Amen? I knew you would laugh at that one. Churches say, we don't have time for altar calls because we got to hurry. We got to go out to the coffee bar out in the lobby. We've got to spend time out there in fellowship and talk to other people and communicate and get along and shake hands and hug necks. What's more important than a coffee bar? The altar of the Lord. The altar of the Lord. The world isn't looking for relevance. The world is looking for real people with real answers to real problems in their life. That's what the world is looking for. Psalms 118 verse 27 says, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Isn't that kind of strange? Why does it say that? Why does it say that? When you stay long enough at the altar, your flesh begins to die. Your sinful ways begin to part. Your sinful thoughts are no longer there. You give them up to do God's will. God, where's the churches that are going to hold on the altar? Where are the churches that are not going to say, you're not taking my altar? My altar is going to be here. Psalm says they took the altar. They took the ropes. They took the shackles. And they tied themselves together. The Bible says they tied them to the altar because life wants to snatch the offering away. It's amazing how quick it happens. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they bound up with ropes. 1 minute, they're on the altar. The next minute, you turn your back, and the sacrifice is gone. It just vanishes into thin air. And you come back to the altar and say, what happened to my sacrifice? Oh, I forgot to tie it down. I forgot. Abraham would take the rams and the goats and the pigeons and he'd tie them down so the scavengers from the sky wouldn't come and carry the sacrifice away. The birds would take it just as soon as he turned his back. And so Abraham was tying his sacrifice down so they wouldn't steal his offering. The enemy is wanting to steal your offering to God. The enemy wants to take you off of the altar. He wants to take you away from the altar. And he'll do it piece by piece, limb by limb if he needs to. And the enemy wants to take you away from the altar. Because when you're at the altar, it's going to change your life. And the enemy doesn't want to do that. The enemy's job is three things: steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the enemy wants to do. So he drags you off piece by piece. Most churches just want a puppy love and a relationship with him that's just a crush, that's just infatuation. But God says, I'll need to take you to the altar where people are hungry, where we can't get enough of him. So many churches are filled with people that go out of the church and they've got spiritual amnesia. They forget everything that was said. So many churches are filled with people that are anorexic with the spiritual things and they vomit it out as soon as they leave the door. Tie us to the altar, God. Tether us there. Bind us there. People say, what's changed? We forgot the altar. Where we first met God. Where we first fell in love with Him. We're just a generation away, folks, from losing our children. And they'll never know what an altar is about. Amen. Families, husbands, wives, we need to change that. Lives need to be restored at the altar. People need to be revived at the altar. It's time to run to the altar. I'm tired of secular Christianity. Oh, we've got to be secular so we can meet the needs of the people. You know what secular means? Secular means this. Three words. Void of God. God help us when the church tries to be secular like the world. What a sad indictment on the church. I'm frustrated in America. I'm frustrated that we no longer have the altar calls that we need. Because Jesus is coming back again, folks. He's not coming back with pillow feathers to tickle us. He's coming back with a sword. How have you treated the altar? He's going to ask you, what have you done at the altar? He's going to ask you, have you ignored the altar? He's going to ask you, have you run to the altar? Have you tied yourself in? When he brings that sword, I'm so frustrated with churches today. We've got celebrity pastors, Hollywood churches, puffing up the church with superficial. It's really all about having a move of God at the altar. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Are you desperate for a move of God in your life? Are you hungry for a move of God in your life? Are you thirsty for a move of God in your life? Are you starved for a God to come and move in your life? Churches have relegated the altar to the custodial closet. Oh, we'll just pick up the altar. Sometimes they say it's the Lord's Supper table back here. They say altar. We'll put it in the back. We'll put it in the custodial closet. Let me tell you, the altar is crucial for a Christian. It was crucial for Abraham. It was crucial for David. It was crucial for Zechariah. It was crucial for Noah. The very first thing Noah did after he got off the ark onto dry land was what? He built an altar. The altar is crucial for Americans. The altar is crucial for Christians. If we don't have the altar, we have nothing at all. Amen. We've got to have the altar. We've got to make it a special time where we meet God. John says we come to the altar, there the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. He's the sacrifice. Jesus comes to the altar and he gives his life to us. He gives his life there on the altar called Calvary. We can't afford not to give our lives on the altar. We can't afford to leave it up to someone else. We can't afford to walk away from the church service and never go to the altar. We've got to go to the altar for God to change us, to change our city, to change our country, to change our world. Some of the best times of the world is at the altar. Are you willing to lay your life at the altar? Are you willing to give your all at the altar? Oh, we have the mindset so many times, I don't want to go to the altar. It's just not for me. When you remove the importance of the altar, you're removing the importance of Him. Amen. Jesus went to the altar, it's called Calvary, and He gave His life. God said, Jesus, go. Jesus gave up his life on the cross. They tied his arms up. They nailed nails in his hands and his feet. What an altar. And he cried out, it is finished. And he's saying, come. Come. Come experience the altar. Come experience what I'm going through. Come tie yourself in with me. I was messaging Matt back in the sound booth last night. And I remembered a song that just went off in my head over and over and over. It was by Ray Bolts. His real name is Ray Howard. And it was, this is what the altar is for. Have you ever heard the song? Have you ever heard it? Anybody know it? One of the most anointed, greatest songs you ever heard. But I didn't know the whole story about Ray Bolt, so I Googled it. He was married to his wife Carol for 33 years. He had four children. He won Dove Awards year after year in the early 90s. He played for millions and sang for millions. He had gold records as long as his leg. He sold millions of albums, millions of CDs. His songs, you will probably remember, were Thank You, Watch the Lamb, Allegiance, No Greater Sacrifice, and many others. And those songs literally blew the church away. They were so powerful and so anointed. And then in 2005, he separated from his wife. He left his four children, and he came out as gay. Now here's a man that sang the song, this is what the altar is for. And you wonder how he can do it. I want to read you the words if I could. I'm not going to sing it. Amen. But I'm going to read it to you. That's what this altar is for. Starts with just as I am. The service is nearing the end. The choir is singing just as I am. Now as the old song is played, people are kneeling at the altar to pray. Some are finding mercy. Some are finding forgiveness of sin. Some are fighting battles. They're struggling to win. The time has come to give them to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for, all of that. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore, he's saying. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that is true. Jesus is waiting. He's waiting here for you. Go quickly now before they close the door. That's what this altar is for. The Father is praying with the Son. The mother kneels beside them, thanking God as they come. The old man is standing there in tears, giving up a part of him that he's held back all these years. Hearts are being broken. Lives are being changed. And those that call upon the Lord, they will never be the same. The time has come to give it to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. And I think about Ray Bolts, and I think about what he meant to the kingdom of God. What happened to him that he would go from the height of a Christian walk with God to the dregs of society and walk the walk of sin? Ray, what happened? Ray, what happened to you? Why did you change? Why did you quit living like you were living? Why did you leave your wife of 33 years? Why did you walk away from four children? Ray, why would you do that after you've been to the mountaintop? And I start to think, people in churches do it every day, Farrell. And I start to think, not only Ray Bolts, but each one of us have left the altar. Well, what is the answer, Farrell? What is the answer from going from the pinnacle to going to the outhouse? What is the answer? The answer is what you got in your hand. Take the red cord in your hand, please. Wave it at me. Let me know you really got it and you didn't throw it away. My brother needs a red cord. The answer is in your hands. Take that cord and grab both ends. And then if you would, just wrap that cord around your fingers. Keep wrapping. Go ahead. Come on. Just keep wrapping. Wrap it and wrap it and wrap it. There we go. Keep it wrapping. Eventually, you'll come to this. You're tied in to the altar. God wants to tie you in to the altar because he doesn't want you to weasel out, because he doesn't want you to wander away, because he doesn't want to lose you in this nasty, God-forsaken world. He needs the church to be tied in at the altar so we can see the power of God move like we've never seen before. Would you like to see it? Would you like to experience it? Would you like to be tied in and never let go? God wants to do that for you today. God wants to tie you into the altar. He wants to bind you to the altar so you can't get loose, so you can't wander away, so you can't wander off, so you can't do your thing. And he says, tie me to the altar. God wants to tie you to the altar. Not because he's mean. Not because he doesn't like you. Because he loves you. He loves you. Would you stand with me and keep that red cord in your hand? Stand with me all over the congregation here, all over this building. Stand with me. They're going to play softly for a short time. I want this to be the greatest experience you've ever had in your life in church. I want this to be something that will absolutely bless you and bless the generations from years and years to come. It starts with you coming to the altar. Would you like to see a move of God in your life? Would you like to see God pour out his abundant mercy? Would you like to see him pour out blessings after blessings after blessings? Would you like to see him touch you, your family, your loved ones, your friends, your city, your church? Do you want him to do that today? If you'd say, Pastor Farrell, that's what I want more than anything. I'm going to ask that you take that red little cord and bring it to the altar. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come and just kneel all over? Don't be the first one. Be the first one. Don't be bashful. Don't be intimidated. You be the first one. You're ready to see God move. You come. Just bring your cord and come. Let's kneel at the altar. Let's seek God. Let's ask God what he wants to do with us. God, do it with us. Let us be the generation that sees the miracles in the hand of God. You come, bring your strength, come to the altar. Don't wait, don't tarry. Bring it, come on, let's get it on. God wants to touch you. God's best for you is here. You come. You come to the altar and tie yourself in. Tie yourself in. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. God, I pray today that in this house of worship, that when we come to the altar, we say, God, take me. I want to be a sacrifice. I want to give my life to you. God, here I am. Tie me in. Tie me in tight. Tie me in tight. Don't let nobody take my altar. Tie me in. I don't want to leave. Tie me in. Hang on to me now. He's going to tie you in today. He's going to tie you in today. God, I pray right now for these people that have come forward. They said they're tired of church as usual. They want to see a move of God. They want to see the hand of God. They want to see God do something in their life. I pray now that you begin to move in their lives, that you begin to do things in their life, that you bring healing to them, that you bring blessing to them, that you bring mercy to them, that their cups just overflow. Father, we thank you for tying us in, for holding on to us and never letting us go. And God, may these cords never be broken between you and I again. We don't want you to leave without having an opportunity to stay where you're at, without having an opportunity to say, Lord, I know you love me. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus to come into my life. And I want to receive him into my heart today, and I want to be saved. If you've prayed that prayer right there that I just prayed, the Bible says you are saved. You're becoming a child of God. You're doing away with the sin in your life. You're walking away. Would you like to be saved today? Anybody here? Would you raise your hand? Anybody here? At the altar, in the seats, would you like to be saved? Would you like to ask Jesus in your life? pray after me. God, let's all pray it together. God, I know you love me, and I am a sinner, and I done wrong, and I confess that to you, and I need Jesus to forgive me of my sin, and I need him to come into my life and bind me to the altar where I never leave. God, do it today. God, do it today. And all God's people said, amen. Would you give God a big bless you? Give him a hand clap, would you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bind me to the altar, Lord. Bind me to the altar. You'll never be the same.